Know your church fathers. Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my King who saved me? This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hairstyles are us. This is Wretched Radio. You need to do the other side.
No.
Look, for your own sake, I'm telling you, just gash the sideburn on the left side because people will think it's like a man wearing an earring on the right ear.
Todd.
They could perceive.
I know.
I'm trying to help you, Jimmy.
I know you are.
You look tough.
But understand, I don't have a fear of man problem.
And so what was that I heard earlier about going to work and back again and being terrified of going to the grocery store?
Because I don't want to look stupid.
But you said you don't have a fear of
it. Hey, well, you know what? Sounds spiritual.
I'm so confused. 877-282-2337.
This is from Anonymous who texted in. Todd, recently my sister, who claims to be a Christian, shared with the family an experience she believes was the spirit of a dearly departed friend visiting her home to say hello. I tried to reason with my sister with the biblical view regarding ghosts and spirits of the dead, but she was not convinced. In my research, I surprisingly found little Bible teaching on these topics. Yeah. Why does it seem that most preachers seem to avoid or tiptoe around the subject?
Maybe they haven't run into it in their text. We'll assume that they're doing expository preaching and divination and sorcery and witchcraft haven't appeared for a bit. But I think that maybe this might be something for every pastor to consider, how much, whether they do or not, totally up to them. But this is all the rage these days. Astrology, it's huge. New Age, mysticism, tarot cards, psychics, all kinds of diviners that can tell you the past, present, and future. It is popular. Is it worthy of a sermon or a mention in a sermon? That's up to each pastor because that's up to each pastor. And I'm not going to be the one to tell them definitively what to preach on Sunday morning because it is up to the man filling that pulpit, but maybe something for you to consider, pastor or Bible study leader, or maybe with your kids. You could take them, for instance, to Deuteronomy 18. It is clear God hates this stuff, and it hasn't changed just because this is the Old Testament. This is one of the reasons that God drove the Canaanites from the land, because they were practicing all kinds of shenanigans. Deuteronomy 18:9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire. That was a pagan practice. One who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all of those are abominations to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. Don't do these things. Now, let's use our MacArthur study notes to determine what these soothsayer interprets omens. Is that talking to the dead? And the answer is yeah. Yeah, it is. Conjuring spells, number 6 in the list. Binding other people by magical muttering, 7. Being a medium. One who supposedly communicates with the dead, but actually communicates with demons. Sister, if that wasn't a conjuring up of a conversation in your own mind, we know it wasn't her because it's appointed unto man once to die, then judgment. You're absent from the body, present from the Lord. That was a demon. You sure you want to stick with that story? Communicates with the dead, but actually number 8, being a spiritist, one who has an intimate acquaintance with the demonic spiritual world, and 9, calling up the dead, investigating and seeking information from the dead. Those are all verboten. So I would take her to the scripture and just camp there and don't let her wiggle off of the hook. However, I think I might go a step further. I might want to try to put on my pastoral hat and ask, why do you think she's experiencing this? Now, could it be a demon? Yes. Yes, it could. Could it be a conversation of her own making? We are fully capable of doing that. You have conversations with yourself. You can imagine somebody saying something to you and what you would say to them. So this could be nothing but her own imaginations. I would ask the question, sup, what's going on? Sister, you're a Christian. Are you maybe struggling in your grief to accept the loss? That could be a possibility. Second, there could be a theological issue that she's needing comfort from an appearance and not from the Word of God. People love these things. I get it. I remember when I was a kid, somebody said that there was somebody in an airplane took a picture of Jesus walking in the clouds. And I remember going, yeah, I want to see that. Then I'm going to know that Jesus is, well, whatever I perception or conception I had of Jesus at the time. We love that stuff. We don't need that stuff. We've got a more sure word. We've got the Bible. So it might be that she's simply grieving poorly. Maybe she's just feeling really bad, doesn't know how to process it. You could help her with that. Or it's because she's not believing what the Bible says and that is the book that should provide her comfort, not an appearance from a potential demon. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. Todd, what advice do you have for a man who is married to an emotionally abusive narcissist who can hide her behavior and fake at church in front of everyone, but behind closed doors, she is actually emotionally abusing her husband?
Yeah, it's rough. Mm. That's a hard spot to be in. And by the way, it's oftentimes reversed, but make no mistake about it. There can be some mean women. Didn't we cover that? There was a book about mean women?
Yeah, there was a book that we went through.
Angry women. You might want to go back and find that somewhere in the archives at Fortis Plus. But what do you do with that? First of all, you need to work on you first. That's where you got to start. I mean, and I'm not suggesting you're not. So I'm just speaking in generalities here. If this is the dynamic in your home, you can't change your spouse. You are not your spouse's Holy Spirit. All you can do is work on yourself. And you need to be encouraged that you married the right woman. Why? Because you're married to that woman. And if God didn't want you married to that woman, you wouldn't be married to that woman, but he does. And so it must be for your good. Furthermore, I would suggest to you, it is now evident what your ministry is. Your ministry is she. If she is struggling the way that you're describing, I know the word narcissist gets overused these days a lot, but if you're dealing with somebody who's, we'll just put it under the category of emotional struggles, whatever emotion that happens to be. She's your ministry and you need to help her. Furthermore, you can consider enlisting the help of others. You might strategically want to talk to some godly women who can keep a confidence to ask if they could come alongside of her and to teach her and to help her. It might come better from them than from you if you hand them Martha Peace's The Excellent Wife book and say, read this. Maybe they could do a study with her. Furthermore, this will be a stalled thing. This is just killing me on the inside. Drive-by marriage could be extremely helpful for you, even if she doesn't do it with you. Wait a couple of months. It'll be available for free at fortisplus.org. It's 37, 38, something like that, lectures on the subject of marriage. How to forgive, how to have a tender heart. It should first and foremost be applied to you. If she joins you in that study, the Lord, through his word, can tenderize her heart. And then finally, I would say, take a long view. Take a long view. How long did it take you to work through one of your emotional issues or struggles? And the answer is you might not even be done yet. Ditto with your spouse. Is it hard? Yeah, it really is. Is it for your good? No question about it, or it wouldn't be happening to you. Is she your ministry? Yes. Is it going to happen overnight that she changes and becomes godly and stable? No. But that is why you promised to stay with her and to cleave to her till death do you part. 877-282-2337.
Todd, I am an 18-year-old man dating a godly young lady. How should I deal with lust and attraction for someone that I am dating? Should Christians deal with attraction differently at different stages of their relationship?
Why do you ask a question like this so late in the segment? I'm sorry. You're just getting in-house fighting between me and Jimmy every time this happens. My apologies for that. This is a delicate line. Until you say I do, you have no rights to her in any sort of intimate way, even if that simply involves your imagination. It is not, having said that, it's not wrong for you to be attracted to somebody, but you got to stifle that, Edith. You got to bury that because you can't be lusting. You don't have permission to. Can you lust for your wife? I think the answer is yes, because you're in that relationship. As long as it's not something that's violent and awful, sure. And you can have those desires and look forward to your time together. Absolutely. Do you get to do that with anybody else? Absolutely not. So you're going to have to wait, recognizing that you're attracted to her. And let me encourage you by saying, show her what kind of a man you are now. Honor her today. It will encourage her that you will be a man that honors her when you're married. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. It might buy you a soft drink, but what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And when you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, understand this, you're not just giving money. You're preaching the gospel to a student at Georgia Tech. You're discipling the young man struggling with pornography. And you're equipping a pastor in a small rural church. And the work, it's nowhere near finished. The fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership makes it all possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org, because when faithful people give faithfully, the gospel advances powerfully. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's remarkable? Currently, right now, at this present time, there are over 4 million podcasts in production. And something unexpected has happened. Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, 3 of them in the top 2%. Now, we're not here to shout from the rooftops about rankings. We're actually here because truth matters. For 25 years, we've been steadfast. First as Wretched Radio, then as Gospel Partners Media, now standing firm as Fortis Institute, Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Gifford, John Krotz, Libby Lawson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app. Completely free. Hundreds of hours of content already there. Absolutely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at FortisInstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. FortisInstitute.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is exhortation, the spiritual ability to encourage, comfort, and admonish God's people. Whether God's people are oppressed, confused, or in error, God has provided the gift of exhortation to comfort, urge, and correct them. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Jimmy, I don't know how much money you have, but I'll be taking all of it. This is Wretched Radio. Somebody foolishly sent me a picture of himself without a beard.
I did.
You know, there's such a thing as Facebook. I could post this bad boy.
That's okay.
When did you start shaving? When you came out of the womb needing a razor blade.
I don't know what age, but I know it hasn't stopped since.
Seriously. What were you, 8?
Probably not 8. Probably 9.
Silly rabbit. Did I mention this is Wretched Radio and you can send stuff to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
This is from Mary Beth, who texted, Anton, what is your opinion on women teaching the whole group, boys and girls, in the junior high youth ministry every once in a while? The youth pastor is a male.
Yeah. Well, once in a while is not really relevant. It's either right or it's wrong one time or three times or 30 times. However, she used the term junior high and boys and girls. Are you a boy and girl in junior high? What age is that? Once you start, in my opinion, once you start getting to puberty time, I think to play it on the safe side, Paul is clear, 1 Timothy 2:12, this is not something that is permitted. The teaching of men needs to come from men because that office of elder, preacher, teacher is reserved for those with XY chromosomes. So any violation of that, no matter what the regularity is, it's a violation of the Bible. So err on the side of caution. The Lord will honor that. So you say, well, a woman shouldn't be teaching males that are 10. He'll honor that, even though let's say it should have been 12, because you're trying to be obedient to him. And I suspect if that is your heart, you'll be able to find another solution. There should be another man in the church that can step into the youth pastor's shoes. And by the way, as long as we're talking about youth pastors, I think that I am now settled. I am now resolved on my belief that youth pastors shouldn't be youthful. In fact, I would suggest we flip-flop how we traditionally place different pastors into different roles. Let's be honest, when it comes to being a youth pastor, is it usually an older man or is it the younger guy? It's usually the younger guy. We consider that it's sort of like training ground, not dealing with the adults yet and more patience. Maybe the kids will be able to relate to them. Not what the kids need. The kids actually need the senior pastor. They need the gray-haired elders. And guess what? I think the youth pastor would be pulled up then by walking down the hall and teaching the big adults. How fast would he grow if he had to prepare whatever his presentation is for some senior saints who have been around for decades? And so resolved, youth pastors shouldn't be. They should be mature men teaching the youth. And let us, for the sake of growing up the youthful pastor, let's send him down the hall to the adults. Resolved. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous.
That'll never pass the Southern Baptist Convention test.
Will never.
Never. That'll mean the Friel Amendment.
Won't pass.
Hey, we won't do this today, but Denny Burke just wrote an article saying good things about the SBC. He was talking about a number of the things. They're worth talking about. But just Denny Burke is a rock solid kind of guy. And so if you've perhaps been frustrated or flustered by the SBC, some of the votes didn't go the way that you wanted to. Now, Denny had a lot of positive commentary about the SBC because remember, even if you're not SBC, we want the SBC to succeed. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Ton, I have a friend from church who committed adultery and divorced her husband after 30 years.
Okay, so she, the friend is a she,
mm-hmm.
married 30 years.
Right.
Commits adultery.
Right.
And divorces the guy she sinned against.
Right.
Okay, I'm tracking.
And she's currently living with the boyfriend. Mm. She has two daughters in college who frequently tell her that she cannot give them any type of relationship advice because of how she broke up the marriage. My friend doesn't know how to respond. What say you?
You're right, kids. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I have surrendered any sort of moral ground or any sort of authority when it comes to this issue because of my ongoing behavior. Now, that does not mean that the woman might not have some wise advice for her daughters. And it doesn't mean, honestly, that the daughters shouldn't be willing to receive it. But just, I think we would agree that when you do something like that, it damages a relationship and it does bring into question your credibility. Why would you tell me what to do relationally when you've made a dog's breakfast of your relations? So I wouldn't blame those young ladies. I would encourage them to try to eat the meat and spit out the bones and honor her as much as possible, because they're called to do that even when your mom makes a horrific mess of her marriage. 30 years. Now, I know it's not like it happened overnight. These things don't ever work that way, where suddenly, you know what, I think I'm going to go out and break my vow. No, it was roiling for a long time and maybe their marriage was struggling. Nevertheless, that is just to do. That's a heartbreaking story. 30 years of marriage, two daughters, all trashed. Oof. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous as well. Todd, is husband of one wife a trait to look for in an elder or a command for an elder? Would you hire a man who fits every other qualification for elder but has never been married?
No.
Yeah, Thane thought it was going a different direction.
Yeah, I did.
I did too.
No, you don't have to be married to be an elder. But if you are married, you got to be a one-woman man. In other words, fully committed to that one alone. But it's not a command. You must be married. It's kind of assumed because marriage, while not superior to being single, it is more normative than singleness. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Carla. Todd, it takes great care and wisdom to walk alongside women and help them navigate the reality that the same sovereign God whose permissive will allows their suffering for their good and his glory is also the only one who can save them and heal them from that suffering. Do you have any advice for me as I help these women with that tension?
Two words, Libby Glosson. That's right. I'm answering with a plug. We need some good female Bible teachers. We really do. Libby Glosson is one of them. She's one of our fellows here at Fortis, and her podcast, it is exploding. I'm not kidding. It just keeps climbing up the rankings because it's so biblical, so real, so intelligent, and so helpful. It's called The Better Way. Not A Better Way, The Better Way. You can do it wherever you do your podcast business or fortisplus.org. You just keep discipling. I think sometimes we forget how long it takes to help somebody. How long did it take God to fix you? And you say, I'm still being fixed. Exactly. And so we strive with one another. We're patient with one another. And we commit to one another in the long term. That would be my encouragement to you. Don't grow frustrated. These are when bad things happen to people, and yet to say God is good. Look, it is something that should be, it's better to establish that before the bad thing happens. But you can teach that. You must teach that when the bad thing does happen. Timing is kind of crucial because that is the only salve. That is the only healing balm. God knows and he's good. Repeat after me. God knows and he's good. God knows what's going on in your life and he's good. And his promises are, he's doing something for you, not to you. He's doing something for you. Why? Because that's his MO. That's what he does for his children. And so let's grieve through it. Let's mourn the loss. But let's do the work to determine, Lord, what work would you like to perform in my life? Because I know you know, and I know you're good. Idea. At wretched.org.
It's like you planned this. I'm going to say something radical, though, to this lady. Maybe it sounds radical. You mentioned discipleship and discipling these women. And when you're suffering, there's a fine line there, but I don't think you're ever going to disciple someone or help them through a time where they've been suffering by holding up a mirror to them. and making them continue to look at themselves and look at the suffering. You gotta point them to Christ. They gotta continue to look at Him.
Yeah, and but you know what? I totally agree with that. Just the same, I would say at some point, and I think you'd affirm this, that there is time for introspection.
Oh, yeah.
Don't waste your suffering. There is stuff for you to learn, and God could be doing or permitting something in your life because that is exactly what our divine doctor ordered, because you need it. So there is a time for that. So that's, I think I kind of snuck it in. Timing is everything. You don't want to just walk in. I just love the people who love to let somebody know that sovereignty is what should cure their ill. It's just an oversimplification of the entire process of somebody who's dealing with grief. Oh, something horrible happened to a loved one. Sovereignty. No! Yes, but timing. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.